and the simplicity, which simplicity means, you know, there's a singleness. There is without guile, without dissimulation. When those things are taught plainly, if you can love them the way they are, and to know the love of Christ, it's like to know that which passes knowledge. It's almost a contradictory in terms. You know? To know that which is, you know, what is it? Which passeth, means to surpass, hyperbio, to throw beyond, but it usually means, in a figurative sense, to surpass. You know, it's beyond the knowledge of man. It has to be given by the Spirit. It's the kind of thing that's implanted in one. That's what I mean. It's like some people, they hear the gospel and they love it. And I say, when the gospel, I mean my gospel. Other gospels, I'm really not interested in. I preach the gospel of the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. A lot of people would probably argue with me on that point. I don't care. See, that's why we're separate. They're my enemies. And I love them too. That's why I teach against them. Because if I didn't, it would mean that I hated them. Because it says if you see your neighbor sin and you don't rebuke them, then you hate them. Part of it's doing things that make people uncomfortable and make them not like you. Jesus loved his enemies. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! That was love. Because that was the best thing he could do for them to make them, you know, as far as what within the will of God. Because remember, God hid wisdom from them. Now God, the Father, he doesn't have to love his enemies. He's commanded us to love our enemies. And people say, well, that's kind of a, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Okay. You don't understand. God sets the criteria whereby you become a son of God. And there's certain, he wants us to do things a certain way. To be a certain way. We have to do it. We have to fulfill it. If it's so objectionable to you, then perhaps another religion would profit you better. But I believe in a powerful God, and I do believe there's a purpose behind everything. And the thing is, he doesn't owe anybody a living. God does not owe us a thing. We are alive. And boy, he's been good to us just to let us live. To be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled. I love that because he's like, the knowledge which passes knowledge, you know, to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowing, which is beyond knowledge, and to be filled with that which cannot be contained. The fullness of God can't be put into a container. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. All the fullness of God. Wow. Wow. Heaven and earth can't contain God. But I'm going to contain all the fullness of God? That I could be filled with the fullness of God? Or at least the fullness of what he's going to offer me. I mean, there must be some contextual sense of that because, I mean, ultimately... But still, that almost goes back to the, you know, I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but like, you know, the Jack and the Beanstalk story where the Puss in Boots, where he, you know, he asks, oh, the giant, you can do anything, you're so powerful, can you become as small as a mouse? And the cat ate up the mouse. But God, who is full and heaven and earth can't fill him, look at what he says. I'll just quote it because I know it by heart. Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? For all those things my hand hath made, and all those things have been. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my words. See, we can't build God a house. But as Jesus said, if a man love me, this is John 14, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is the only mansion God is ever going to build for you. Within you. There is no mansion up in heaven. There's no mansions in heaven. It's a misinterpretation by a bunch of people who have no business even preaching the gospel, except that God has appointed them to destruction and to mispreach it. Or maybe to repent and turn and to receive the true gospel as it is taught by the apostles and prophets and by me. God has built a house, and he will come and abide with us. But it's amazing. He's fitting into human heart. It's pretty small. Compared to the whole universe, the human heart is a pretty small thing. But he's going to put all the whole, he's able, you know, like this in the story guy, he's really big, and he can also contain himself in his fullness in something so small. And something that had even formerly been vile. That's why we've got to be holy. We are the containers of God himself. That's mysterious. I mean, in a sense, I mean, because, you know, the Spirit of God used to fall on people, but like to be filled with all the fullness of God, that's a revealed secret. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So it sort of comes to a formal end. There's a definite chapter break right there where you could put a break. I mean, you think about it. He goes from the beginning, you know, about he's calling us, predestinating us, and he's talking to them, and this mystery of being brought in one. But ultimately what that comes to is God filling us with all his fullness, you know, as a whole people in Christ, and also as individuals. You know, like it says, if a man, you know, James, if a man, you know, a man can say he loves God who he hasn't seen, but what if he doesn't love his brother who he does see? And what if your brother isn't a guy you particularly like? Ah, that is to know the love of Christ. Because if he's your brother, Christ loves him. See? And to know the love. Because some people would say, oh, well, agape, that's benevolence, and it's a choice, and blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. I cannot divorce love from affection. The bonds